Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, happy Monday morning, 27th day of January. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. Kim St. Ange has a few days off, and we got Matthew Rocchio in here with us this morning handling news. We appreciate that. Carl Middleman, we got Ethan, and of course Susan with your traffic here in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to all that. Just a quick reminder, if you miss anything, you can always download the podcast at 971talk.com, and of course, if you're on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C. You can download that to your phone, listen to us wherever you go, and you can also gain access to the podcasts and the rewind button and all that great stuff. And you can send us messages if you have something to say down here to the show. You just, if you're on the Odyssey app there on 971talk.com, just hit the microphone button. Just a reminder. You have to, there's a little countdown down there. I think it's like 3 seconds, and then you start recording, because if you don't pay attention to that, you'll cut off your first few words. Carl and I have dealt with that on a number of occasions. So just warning you, you get up to 60 seconds to give us your thoughts, maybe on the fabulous first week of Donald Trump's presidency, or flights to Colombia, or I don't know, whatever you want to talk about. The Chiefs went in last night. We'll take your comments and play them back on the air down here this morning. We're up on the socials, YouTube, Facebook, and we'll be interacting with you there as well. Yes, Carl.
Rumble
and all of them. Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. It's all right there. Got lots to get to. Hans von Spakovsky coming up. Lots of questions for him about birthright citizenship. What does it mean? What are the chances the court will identify it for what it how it was intended, and not for what it has been morphed into by people that want to abuse the system. And I'll talk to Hans about that here in the next segment. Next hour, we're going to talk to Shelby Doyle about the National School Choice Awareness Week that's going on, and it's an opportunity to raise a lot of key questions, maybe for Missouri legislators who have opportunities this year to get us closer to school choice in the state of Missouri. Well, all that's coming up for you, but right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I support us doing law enforcement against violent criminals, whether they're illegal immigrants or anybody else, in a way that keeps us safe.
Yes, indeed, you bet, because that is J.D. Vance last night, who was arguing with Margaret Brennan, who is just so, she's just so snide sometimes that you just want to wipe that smirk off her face. I don't know, it just, I hate the way she imposes her little comments, like, she, well, you're wrong, and then, well, this is what it is, and Vance wasn't having any of it.
Is that going to be a constant commitment from the U.S. military every single day
yes.
to take deportees out?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not what Martha Raddatz wanted to hear either. That is not the plan. She did not like the fact that we're going to be lining people up on C-17s and flying them back to where they came from.
You have emergency powers just like I do, and I'm exercising my emergency powers. You have to exercise them also.
I did exercise them.
Because I looked. I mean, you have a very powerful emergency power.
Yeah, come on, Karen Bass. What are you doing? Let's get it done. You have the ability to help people skip the bureaucracy. What a fantastic idea. I don't know.
Oh,
Well, congratulations, Patrick.
I mean, first off, I want to give all glory to God. Without him, none of this is possible, and I truly mean that. And I'm just so proud of my teammates, man, how they responded.
Yeah, yeah. How about those Kansas City Chiefs, huh? Fantastic win by them. I watched a little bit of that game, most of that game probably. A little bit of the Eagles game. The Eagles were pretty dominant. Should make for a pretty good Super Bowl. I did see, Matthew, I know you follow sports quite a bit and came from a sports background. I saw the memes went out immediately. People rooting for the Chiefs. It shows a map of the United States. Only Missouri is highlighted. People rooting for the Eagles. You know, only Pennsylvania is highlighted. Nobody else. They act like nobody else cares.
Yeah, it's people get sick of seeing the same teams over and over again, and then people don't like to root for Philadelphia teams because they're Philadelphia fans.
And they don't like to root for the Chiefs because of the perception that the refs help them all the time.
Yeah, I think there's a group of that don't like that. I think there's a group that are annoyed by the Taylor Swift factor, and I think there's a group of people like me who get annoyed seeing the same teams over and over again because there's a line between watching greatness, which has been very fun, and getting a little bit like, can I see another team maybe get a shot at taking home a title, like the Bills, or the Commanders finishing a crazy run, like those kind of things could have been fun.
Yeah, yeah. The people in Detroit must be really pissed.
That would have been fun.
They have the best team they've had in maybe their franchise history, and the people that got to play yesterday, it's the upstart Washington Commanders who were supposed to be in a rebuilding year. The Eagles, who've been good for a long time.
Yeah, we just did another Super Bowl rematch, which is kind of boring. Also, the Lions would have been perfect because there's like 7 St. Louis kids on the Lions.
Yeah.
So Lions versus Chiefs, that would have been perfect for this state.
Yep. That's very true. That would have been an interesting matchup. But we'll be rooting. I'll be rooting for the Chiefs, of course. I've never been a huge Eagles fan. Except what was that movie, Carl, about the Eagles player who played
Vince Papale.
Vince Papale, yeah. What was that? What was that movie? He played in the year when they had the strike and they hired they took people off the street.
Oh, the rookie,
Invincible.
Invincible. I loved that movie. That was fantastic. That's about the only time I've ever rooted for the Eagles when I was rooting for Vince Papale.
And of course, that was Dick Vermeil.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that was a good story. If you haven't seen that movie, that one's well worth going back and watching, whether you're a football fan or not. It's a love story. It's a love story. I'm just kidding. Sort of love. I mean, he sort of is flirting with that girl in the bar.
That's what he tries to tell Kim any movie that is not a love story.
Just to try to get her to see it. Like, she's never seen Rocky, any of the Rocky movies.
That's a love story.
Well, thank you.
Him and Adrian. Cinderella Man has an incredibly great overarching love story point that gets you through the boxing movie.
He got her to watch Gladiator and Gladiator 2.
I told her it was a love story.
He is crying at her feet.
I know.
It's a love story, 100%.
Thank you. Die Hard, it's a love story. He's doing it for his
He's trying
wife.
To save his marriage.
He's trying to save his marriage.
He reflects on how bad of a father he's been at different times throughout those movies. It's fantastic.
Shame Kim. Kim will be back later in the week. She can defend herself then. How about that?
And she'll say, you got me to see Gladiator.
you fooled me into watching Gladiator. I'm not falling for that anymore. Coming up, we'll get to Hans von Spakovsky. He is, of course, the senior legal fellow there at Heritage. And we'll talk more about what the odds are the Supreme Court will, finally explain birthright citizenship and what it's really intended to do.
To be clear, the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868 and provides in pertinent part all persons born in the U.S. and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens. No one envisioned people flying to the U.S. to have a child in a California hotel, only to then petition for the rest of the family to join them.
Hans von Spakovsky, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
That was Trey Gowdy, and we now have Hans von Spakovsky on the phone here. Trey spelled that out, Hans, in a way that I think most people need to understand. When birthright citizenship was put in there, it didn't intend the consequences we're seeing these days. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And in fact, subject to the jurisdiction thereof is the second required condition. All the proponents of birthright citizenship just concentrate on that first half of the sentence that's in the 14th Amendment. They ignore that second part. And listen, I've actually got a piece at Fox News this morning, explaining that, in fact, 72, there was a U.S. Supreme Court decision in which they said that provision does not apply to the children of foreigners born in the United States.
But it's somehow become normal these days for it to be interpreted the wrong way. When did that happen?
It started happening in the 1930s during the Roosevelt administration. And that's simply because for the first 100 years, everybody understood exactly. It did not apply to the children of aliens born in the U.S. In the 1930s, the Roosevelt administration basically changed government policy. That's it's as simple as that. They just suddenly said, oh, we're going to start treating people born in the U.S. as citizens and ignore that second part. And so today you have all these supposed experts, all these people out there saying, oh, well, it's always been this way. No, it hasn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so now clearly the Trump people admitted they wrote this for one reason, to get it into the courts.
Right.
And now it's been challenged, and it will eventually, I think, end up at the United States Supreme Court. Where do you think they are on this? Are they willing to say, do they have to redefine it? Is that what has to happen?
What they have done is the president has issued an executive order telling government agencies, probably most, the one that affects the most is the U.S. State Department, if you want to get a passport, you've got to show that not only were you born in the U.S., but that at least one of your parents was a U.S. citizen at the time you were born. That makes you a citizen. And that's what they've already been sued about. You had a very, frankly, stupid judge out in Seattle that's already issued an injunction against it. That judge said, oh, this is blatantly unconstitutional. No, he's blatantly wrong.
Yeah.
And I want you to think about this. The president issued this executive order. He was immediately sued within a day. A court in Seattle, a judge, issues a stay against it. How much time do you think that judge in a day had to actually research this issue, 150 years worth of history on it? None. That guy just put out a seat-of-the-pants ruling, and he's wrong about it.
Well, and he knows a higher court will deal with it at some point. I did see the news stories on that. The first thing many of them wanted to point out is that guy was like a Reagan appointee.
But if you look at his history, he basically went to the dark side almost as soon as he became a judge. And he has issued all kinds of terrible opinions out in Seattle.
Yeah, it's a good point. Hans von Spakovsky is our guest this morning, as always, on a Monday morning. Hans, I read, of course, last week how the federal government is going to eliminate all these DEI offices.
That's right.
The local VA here in St. Louis put out an email to its employees, and somebody shared it with me, a listener. And basically, it said, you know, we're gonna end our DEI office today, but stressing that they're still going to basically abide by all this stuff. And a day later, the acting VA secretary said, if we find out that you're hiding any of this stuff, you're fired. And I love the fact that the Trump administration responded to that so quickly. Do you think they can get a handle on this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in particular, look, the most important part of that order was they were afraid that if they just told people, well, shut down these offices inside the government, all those individuals who work, those staffs,
yes,
would simply get new titles, move into other offices, and they keep doing the same thing. And in fact, the order said all those people have to be put on administrative leave. You cannot move them into a different position. That is the vital way to make that effective. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, that has already saved the American taxpayer more than almost $500 million, not only in salaries, but in all of the contracts with outside consultants who are going to come in and teach about this.
Sure. Yeah, that's great news. Doing Doge's job for them that quickly,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah, no kidding. Hans, I also read where the Trump DOJ went in and asked the Supreme Court to freeze a handful of cases.
Right.
Among them, the challenge to Biden's student loan bailouts. What's that all about?
Well, I have no doubt it's because the administration is going to change their position. They're going to come out, I think, and say that the Justice Department's position in the past, which was defending Biden and saying he did have the power to suspend loans, I think the DOJ is going to come back and say, sorry, we were wrong. The president did not have the power to suspend repayment of these loans.
So were these hearings, I mean, would they have to go back and rehear it so somebody new from the DOJ could come in to make their argument? Will they just send in, different statements?
It's probably that I think most of the arguments, they're either scheduled. In some of these cases, the arguments were scheduled for March and April.
Okay.
So I think they're asking for a temporary delay in that. And in other cases where arguments have already occurred, they will file a new pleading, a new brief with the court changing the Justice Department's position.
I don't know about you, Hans, but describing what's happened the last week as a whirlwind seems...
It is.
It's an understatement. It's crazy.
Let me tell you, it's like the second American Revolution, reinstituting the first American Revolution. It's been like a tornado has gone through the bureaucracy of Washington, D.C.
But I'm so happy I'll still be able to get my Colombian coffee without a 50% tariff.
Wasn't that? But see, that shows the power of a president who is willing to act, that immediately the president said, okay, you're not going to take these Colombian criminal aliens back. We're going to impose tariffs on you, and immediately, because of the economic cost of that, the socialist president of Colombia surrenders. But that's when you have a president who's willing to use his authority, that's the kind of results you can get.
Amen. Hans, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Heritage.org. Not only did he surrender, he then claimed... He was originally against it because he didn't want American military aircraft coming into his country. So he offered to send his own presidential plane from Colombia to pick up the criminal detainees. Woo! That is a win in any way you look at it. There's no doubt about it. Coming up, we will check in with Nicole Murray, get you a check of business, then in other news about 6:45. Stay tuned. All right, little Wolfie for you this morning. Mammoth Van Halen there. His dad's birthday was this weekend, Carl. In fact, Edward Van Halen. And today is the birthday not of Wolfgang Van Halen, but Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, after whom he was named.
1756 today.
Who knew?
I did. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you might have heard Matthew in the newscast earlier talking about this payout that the prosecutor's office is having to do after Wesley Bell abandoned us for Congress. We're going to talk more about that coming up. There's a couple things that happened in St. Louis County on Friday, and I'm going to get to that for you here in just a couple of minutes. But right now, let's get to Nicole Murray, who I'm certain is very tired this morning because she was up late watching the Chiefs beat the Bills.
No, I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I got my beauty sleep, but thank you.
Good for you. Good for you. So there was nobody in your office that was a diehard for any of those teams?
I'm not 100% sure, actually.
No, I mean, I would think Gordon he's a Giants fan, right?
Yeah, New York. New York is definitely who we root for in this office, but
I thought
it's painful to be a New York fan, so we're staying quiet this
year. He's like the stadium announcer for them, isn't he?
Yes,
I thought so.
So that means they hate the Eagles.
Yeah, they probably hate the Eagles, so they were all rooting against the Eagles. Interesting.
I don't know who he was rooting for. I don't ask because I knew it would be up past my bedtime anyway.
There you go. I it was actually, the timing was perfect. The game ended about 9 o'clock our time, about the time I would normally go to bed anyway. So
you go to bed at 9 p.m.?
I do.
And you get up at what?
3.
Are you crazy?
I've been doing it for years. I'm just numb to it at this point.
Oh my
alarm goes off, I pop right out of bed, get rolling.
I'd be the crankiest little thing.
How much sleep do you need, Nicole?
My alarm first goes off at 2. I'm usually getting to bed by 4 or 5 the latest.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Holy
I need my beauty sleep.
Ow, that's amazing.
Yes. I can sleep a lot.
I guess. Well, good for you. I don't know, just over the years, I did mornings on TV for 13 years, and then I've been doing mornings here now for 8 years, and my body is just so accustomed to that alarm going off. The only thing I can affect is when I go to bed, and I try to get in bed between 8 and 9 usually, but of course that game was on. I wasn't going to go to bed till the game was over, so...
Absolutely not.
That's why I look as old as I look. That's the bottom line. But anyway, what's going on out there?
All right. So futures are sharply lower amid an AI tech sell-off. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 140. The NASDAQ down 99. The S&P 500 down 17. A new Aldi store is opening in Olivet next month. Known for its low prices and simple selections, the grocery chain's latest location will be at 9175 Olive Crossing. The store will be open daily from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Kellanova has partnered with Golden West Food Group to transform the iconic flavors of Eggo waffles into indulgent ice cream treats. The new lineup includes both pints and ice cream sandwiches. The Eggo frozen treats will soon be available at Kroger, Albertsons, and Walmart. 38 people have been injured after a United Airlines flight flying from Nigeria bound for Washington, D.C. made a, quote, unexpected movement. That's according to Nigerian officials. The flight was operated on a Boeing 787 and carried more than 250 people. Ryanair has posted an after-tax profit for the three-month period ending December 31st that beat analysts' forecast, but revised it down its passenger outlook because of delays in Boeing aircraft delivery. After-tax profit for the third quarter came in at $156 million. This is significantly ahead of the $63 million profit forecasted. Mel Gibson's Flight Risk managed to open at number one at the box office with a modest $12 million, according to studio estimates. In second place, Disney's Mufasa, which garnered another $8.7 million, bringing its domestic total to $221 million. And finally, a new Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences study says the most likely place to meet a partner in 2025 now is online, the second most popular through friends.
Wow. People just aren't getting out as much, or like I'm so far removed from that. But, you know, it used to be you wanted to go out to a bar or a social setting and meet people. And now people are doing it, what, on Tinder? What are they doing?
They're doing it on the apps. But if you look, when you go out to a typical bar, I've had this happen where everyone is so buried in their phones that people aren't just naturally meeting anymore.
I didn't think of that.
And, you know, then it becomes like that whole fear of rejection. So then they're like, I'd rather match with them first and then meet them in person. I hate it. I hate all of it.
Oh, I know. I just couldn't imagine. Hey, by the way, I have a question for you. So we talked about this crazy schedule we work. And, of course, we come here each morning and we're starving to death because it's hard to get fresh food at this hour. So I'm at the grocery store yesterday and I see these. I go to the frozen food aisle, frozen breakfast food, and I see these little pita pocket looking things that have sausage and eggs in them. And I'm like, oh, that looks really good. Maybe I'll get some of those. I can take them to work, leave them in the freezer, get them out and nuke them as I need them. 160 calories each.
Not bad.
And then I see right next to it, I could get egg whites and turkey-based meat instead. And I'm thinking, well, that might be a healthy alternative, because we were just talking the other day with Nicole and Kim about making healthier choices when you look in the food section and read labels and all that. So I pull that one out. It's 150 calories. So I'm only saving 10 calories in that entire sandwich to eat egg whites and turkey-based meat instead of pork sausage and real eggs. What do you think I chose?
I'm going to guess you chose the 10 calorie more one.
I chose the real one. I couldn't believe there was only 10 calories difference. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I know there's probably sodium differences and fat differences and all that, but for calories, I'm good.
The metric you were looking at was fine.
Thank you.
Well, calories are not the only way to measure if something's healthy or not.
I know.
Sir.
I know, but I that's my excuse and I'm sticking with it. So that's it. All right,
well,
Nicole.
I hope you enjoy those 10 extra calories.
Thank you. I will. I'll need the extra energy.
He brought in a
Danish today.
Since
I didn't get as much sleep as you. Yeah, for sure.
A Danish? I see you've taken our healthy talk to heart.
I didn't even bring one of those egg things this morning. I saw the breakfast pastry, and I'm like, I'm going to buy that and take it to work tomorrow. So
thank you, Mark.
I'm sharing with the crew.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
How often does Gordon do that?
We have a cafeteria in here that, no, I'm going to give you an answer and you're going to listen.
Okay.
There is a cafeteria down the way where we trade off who buys omelets for everybody.
Okay.
Every
nice.
So we do, but there's not a lot of places to get food that's open no. near us at this time.
Not so. At all. Not at
in
all.
In your face.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. We appreciate that. Hey, I did find out some good news the other day. Carl, I found an additional food source potentially for us in the mornings.
Yes,
we'll
I
see.
Heard.
We'll see. Maybe bringing in some kolaches one morning. So
biscuit and gravy kolaches.
Is that what you want?
Fantastic.
You putting your order in? All yes. right. Stay tuned.
And they also have something called the Merkin, which is more than that.
Oh.
But I think that's right. biscuits and gravy and hash browns.
Now I'm going to have to be looking into that here shortly. Okay, so here's the deal. You heard Matthew earlier reporting on this like $500,000 settlement that St. Louis County had to make to an employee who claimed she was discriminated against, right? She was passed over because she was a woman and men were making more money and now the county's paying out like $500,000 in that case. And I don't know what role Wesley Bell played in that, but he's gone now. And the taxpayers are stuck paying for this bill for whatever he tried to do when he got in there and started hiring his own folks. Did you hear the news about Dennis Hancock, the county councilman? And, you know, from the beginning of this, I told you what this was all about. From the very beginning, this was all about Sam Page trying to get a Republican removed from county council, because the bottom line is he wanted to change the votes, the potential votes on county council to his favor. And they saw an opportunity to get rid of Dennis Hancock. And they went to the prosecutor's office run by Wesley Bell. And of course, Bell did the bidding for Sam Page. There's no doubt this thing stunk to high heaven. Right? Because they were going to drop it, and then they went after him again and tried to get him removed right before a big vote. I mean, it just stunk to high heaven. Well, this was announced late Friday. There's been a settlement. The county prosecuting attorney's office reached a settlement with Dennis Hancock in that nepotism case brought by Wesley Bell. And basically, he's agreed to pay his own legal fees so that the taxpayers aren't paying them. And they've agreed to drop the charges, and they're not going back after it. Like, it was just sort of an out-of-court settlement. You pay your legal fees, we won't investigate this anymore. So it's an admission, in my opinion, by the county prosecutor's office, that it was all political to begin with. And very clear to me that Melissa Price-Smith is sticking to her word when she said she was going to run this like a prosecutor's office and not play politics. So congratulations to Councilman Hancock. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how much his legal fees were, but at least this is behind him now. And that you don't have to worry about Sam Page trying to play dirty politics, which happens all so often. It's like Steve Stenger never left. I mean, it's absolutely an amazing thing to watch, isn't it? All right, coming up, we'll get to another news with Ethan in a few minutes. Next hour, our real or fake news quiz. Matthew will be playing along today since he's in for Kim. And we'll talk more about the school board elections that are coming up in April. We'll be back in just a minute.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Paul McCartney has expressed concern that artificial intelligence could rip off artists if upcoming copyright reform failed to protect creative industries. The British government is considering allowing AI developers to use unlicensed work to scale while proposing a licensing system for creators. McCartney urged policymakers to ensure that artists, not just tech giants, benefit from their work. Highlighting the risk, he emphasized that without protection, creativity could suffer.
Oh.
Here's the irony of this. Paul McCartney has previously used AI to recreate John Lennon's voice for a Beatles project, showcasing both the potential and challenges of the technology.
My guess is the Lennon family got money from that if it made
right.
money, right?
Well,
John wrote the song, and when they were going to do the anthology series in 1995, there was going to be one song per volume, but the one for Now and Then was too degraded. And so when Peter Jackson made the Get Back documentary, they had that technology to make the vocals come back up.
Interesting.
So it was technology that got
that
us the final.
And now he wants to make sure going forward
he gets paid.
Duplicate his voice and him not get paid for it.
Right.
Yeah. Nice.
Natalie Nadia Sulman, you might know her better as the Octomom.
Yes, I haven't heard that name in years.
She celebrated her octuplet's 16th birthday yesterday, sharing a heartfelt Instagram post featuring a photo of her children and a touching message. She expressed her love and gratitude for them, reflected on their journey, and shared hopes for their future. Yeah, she gained fame in 2009 after becoming the first woman to give birth to surviving octuplets. They're 16.
They're all 16. All driving? So she's got to buy 8 cars?
Just one minivan. You guys got to share it.
I don't know.
Doesn't she also have like 6 other kids?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
She has 14 kids.
Hope she married well.
She has a family of 15.
Well, because you haven't heard her name in years, so it's not like she's making a fortune off of her name that I'm aware of.
She did copyright Octomom.
Well, maybe. But when's the last time you heard that word?
Well,
I'm just saying.
There's my 2 cents.
There's much call for it.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know how she's making money off that. But go ahead. Yeah.
Kia is recalling 80,000 electric and hybrid vehicles in the U.S. due to a defect in the floor wiring assembly beneath the front passenger seat, which could prevent airbags and seat belts from deploying properly. Here we go. The recall affects 2023 through 2025 models of the Kia Niro? Yeah, Kia Niro. Niro EV and Niro plug-in hybrid. You're going to be contacted if you own one of those in March. So, you know, you're good for a little while, I guess.
No. Yeah.
God. Wow.
Yeah, so if you're winning? Hearing about it now, in 6 weeks, you're going to get a letter.
You're going to get a letter in the mail.
If the post office is delivering still.
Yeah, is that like a cover your butt thing? Like, hey, maybe they didn't hear about it, so we got to get it out there. God. Used phones from TikTok pre-installed are being resold for thousands of dollars on platforms like eBay and Facebook Marketplace as the app remains unavailable on Apple and Google App Stores. After briefly shutting down to the looming U.S. ban, TikTok has again been active, but users who deleted the app cannot now re-download it. Sellers are capitalizing on the situation with listings ranging from $9,000 to $50,000 for devices with TikTok installed.
Wait a minute. Now, if I was to get rid of this phone that I have right here,
yes,
I would wipe it before I would give it to somebody else. How, yes. If you don't wipe it, aren't you giving them all of your information?
Yes.
Potentially.
But you could get rid of everything except for that app.
No, you couldn't. Not if you wipe it. How would you do that? I don't even know how. Maybe you can do that on Google phones, but I don't think you could do that on an Apple phone.
I don't think you can do it on
Google.
Sue,
could you give me some insight on that?
Well, I don't have a Google phone.
Oh.
Samsung. But, I mean, you know, there are Google Pixel phones. That's why I'm drawing the distinction. But I'm not sure because I've never tried.
I don't think so. I think if you do, like you're saying, if you do a factory reset, it's all gone.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, I don't know how you save one app. How do you save?
I don't think you can.
A single app. I don't understand that. But go ahead, please.
Although this is true. On Facebook Marketplace last night, I saw one going for $1,500.
Oh, my God.
Maybe. I don't actually know anything, but could you put that on a thumb drive or something?
Pull it off.
And then put it back on?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm on the App Store, on the Apple App Store. TikTok and other ByteDance apps are not available in the country or region you're in. Maybe you could VPN it and say you're in Canada.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Carl's got all kinds of ideas.
Let's not give ideas, Carl.
Yeah, there we go.
Spirit Airlines.
No one's thought of it.
Well, I'm sure. Spirit Airlines has updated its contract of carriage to include stricter guidelines on passenger attire and body art. Travelers may be denied boarding or removed from flights if they are barefoot, inadequate clothed, or wearing clothing or displaying body art deemed lewd, obscene, or offensive. Now, inadequate clothes includes see-through garments or exposed private areas. While Spirit previously banned barefoot passengers and offensive clothing, the new policy provides more detailed specifications. This change highlights ongoing debates over fashion choices and dress codes for the air travelers.
That'll last until the first lawsuit, and then that'll be gone.
Who
too,
would
probably.
Walk barefoot through an airport?
So gross.
I can't imagine. We know somebody that would.
How about just a restriction that you can't take your shoes off once you're in your seat and put your stinky dogs up on the seat or on the chair in front of you.
Ugh.
I see. I've got a friend who flies a lot, and she's constantly sharing photos of somebody in the aisle with her that have their naked feet out of their shoes and like propped up against the seat in front of them or something.
When I flew to Australia, Qantas gave you a little bag that had an eye mask and socks, so you could have fresh socks when you decided to take your shoes off.
Nice.
Still gross.
Yeah, that's
still
a long flight, though. You know,
yes,
I get it.
Yeah.
So.
Still gross. A Texas man has filed a lawsuit after his finger was severed by the automatic door of a Porsche at his family Houston home. The incident occurred as a 67-year-old grandfather was stepping back after securing his grandchild in a car seat. According to the lawsuit, the car's soft closed door feature malfunctioned, failing to stop when his finger was caught, resulting in the complete severing of his index finger.
Ouch.
Thanks.
That's a painful way to end that, Ethan.
Yeah.
Ouch. Be careful out there. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Ashley Smith-Thomas. We'll talk more about the RFK nomination hearing set for this week.
Get more at 971talk.com.